Yes, indeed, it is here on this hump day, November 8th. You know what they say? If you can't be with the one you love, hump the one you're with.
Oh, there you go.
On hump day.
Yeah.
I think they said, isn't that a saying? Is that a thing?
It is a thing.
I might have heard it on the Ric Flair documentary last night. I'm not sure.
Woo!
Can't confirm. I'm not really sure. Thank you so much for putting up with our nonsense. Welcome in. I am Damian Barling along with Jason Ross. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, 12:30. He will be with us. Talk about the Sacramento Kings win last night. We'll get to our one small thought on the entire American Football Conference, the AFC, including your Oakland Raiders. Some more NFL news. Sam Amick will be with us, KHTK NBA insider, back for his weekly visit. That's at 2 o'clock. But we start. Whew. They held on and won.
Yeah.
They came back, got ahead, then held on, and then won.
And now can still beat the Warriors' win streak of 70 – or streak. 74 still, wins is in play.
Well, I mean, that's what we're going for, right?
Right.
That's what we're calling for.
It's right there, 74-8. It's win the rest.
It's within arm's distance.
Yes.
Now. Before yesterday, a little carried away.
Right.
But now
they can do it.
And that's in sight.
Yeah.
That is absolutely in sight. A couple of notes here. A couple of things that really stand out. Garrett Temple, Justin Jackson, both played 30 minutes. Who in the Sacramento Kings organization is listening to our program? Because we just had a conversation about how guys aren't playing extended period of minutes and how we could probably pinpoint maybe two or three times all year that a player has played 30 minutes. We had two just in this one game.
Yeah, and if they're listening, can you bump it just a little more? I mean, well, baby steps. We got to 30. That's good. 30 minutes for those two guys, and maybe a few others can get in there. But what a weird night.
Yeah.
What a weird game collectively, how the Thunder played, some of the decisions they made, how the Kings started. I don't know that we'll see, you know, when you play 82, there's a lot of games that kind of end up similarly. I don't know that we'll ever see one quite the way that one played out. And I think, you know, now that the Kings won it, when the Kings, I think, went to the first timeout, and it was either 10-0 or maybe 10-3 after Justin Jackson finally scored.
No, I think it was nothing.
Why wasn't it like 32-0?
Because
I mean, the Thunder,
Oklahoma City couldn't make anything.
Oh my gosh,
that was the theme of the night.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City couldn't make a shot,
and you know, Kings were far from perfect. Turnovers galore, mistakes everywhere. Yet they beat a team that's better than them with more experience, and so found a way, which is good. That was the most important thing: just stop the bleeding, get a win, and see where they go from here.
If you want to take part in the conversation, you know, this show is literally nothing without you. 44-11-40 on the text line. Hey, it's the night after a win. Usually people are pretty excited. You can get us here on the phone lines as well before we get to Garrett Temple at 1230, 916-339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Lauren and Carmichael, who coined the term hashtag mid-range city, said the Kings get the win and are 1-0 under the mid-range city banner.
Proven. Lauren started it.
He did.
That's it. That is the start of the Kings' success. Mid-range city was in full effect. There weren't a lot of free throws.
Oh,
they
man.
Hit a few threes, but mid-range game was on point.
Kind they of. Both teams, the Thunder beat their average in terms of getting to the foul line. In fact, I think both teams, the Kings didn't, but the Thunder did. They beat their times and their average, yeah, their per game average in getting to the foul line. But that game kind of went, you know, we joked about it yesterday. This could be a foul free game.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, okay, what is going on with these flagrant fouls? That was awful.
Yeah.
Like, Kings fan or not, that's the we've seen it happen. It's happened both. No, it happened to Steph. It happened to Russ last night.
It happened to Carmelo
a couple of nights ago. Did I miss a rule change? What did I miss?
I'm with you on that one because I saw that Bogdan got hit, but I went, okay, that was weird. I thought the foul was on him, and then they said they were going to review it. Then it becomes a flagrant on Russell. I don't know. I don't have an answer because that was a strange play.
Yeah, and I feel like I haven't regularly seen that over the course of watching, and I've seen it three times in the last few days, all with very prominent players. Two of them on the same team, and then Steph was the other one where he gets an and one call. It's like, oh, you know what? That's not an and one. That's actually a flagrant. And in Carmelo's case, that's a flagrant too, and we're going to throw you out.
That was bizarre. That one was really bizarre.
Well, I'd argue the one with Russell Westbrook last night was just as bizarre. And I don't know if, you know, the Thunder are 4-6. They have, you know, let's give credit first before we start trying to pick apart with what's wrong with the Thunder. Like, at this right now, for this moment, who really cares what's wrong with the Thunder? We could talk about that a different day. Sacramento Kings played good defense last
night. They did.
And it's led by the guy who's going to join us in about 24 minutes. He is the lead defender for the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, every night it is about matchups. The way the game started and the Kings starting five of Bogdanovich, Zebo, Willie, Garrett, and George did not do well offensively. But when it started, I went, oh, man, there are some interesting matchups both ways here. Where Randolph initially was guarding Carmelo. And I went, I don't like that. I don't like that for Randolph. Carmelo was pulling him away from the basket and trying to be a little creative, wasn't making his shots. On the other end, you know, there were some things where you're going, who has to guard who? And, you know, different guys having to guard Paul George, like Garrett Temple, maybe Justin Jackson had to guard Carmelo. There were some interesting things, but I thought Billy Donovan took out the guy that I thought was making the biggest impact in the game was Steven Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zebo got going in the third quarter, and he was being covered by Patrick Patterson or Carmelo or different guys. I'm like, that's an advantage that the Kings went at, and it worked.
Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook all took more shots than points that they scored.
Ooh. That's not good.
That's not a good.
No.
And in Paul George's case, he was 4 of 16, 12 points. He took 16 shots to get to 12 points, and I think Garrett Temple spent most of the night on him.
Yeah, you know, it was funny when the game ended. Like, I remember Russ. I remember Carmelo. Mm-hmm. I can't remember a thing that Paul George did. Mm-hmm. I mean, and forget stats. Like, you know, you can make a play or a steal or, ooh, that. I felt like he was just disappeared.
And, you know, amazing, given this is how bad, like, I'm trying not to focus on the Thunder, but this is how bad the Thunder were. The Kings turned the ball over 23 times.
That team should never win. The Kings specifically, most teams can't, but this group of Kings, I don't know how they won a game like that.
I mean, even really, really good teams don't win games when you turn the ball over.
That's what hurts the Warriors, right? I mean, when they get in their trouble is when they turn it over too much. I will say this, though, about the Thunder. I know we'll get back to the Kings, but I was really impressed with their defense. I mean, they are really aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And if they – and we talked – you gave the stats yesterday, deflections and different things that they –
steals, yep.
Yeah, and top two and points allowed. They're ahead of the game there. They'll figure out their offense. I think they're going to be really good. They're not there yet. But their defense is pretty good.
And that was one of those games where Russell felt like no one could get going, so he tried to do it all himself, and it didn't work in his favor. You know, we mentioned the 23 turnovers for the Sacramento Kings. The Thunder had 14. Russ had 7 of them.
Yeah.
Bad ratio. That's a bad ratio there for any point guard. But again, credit the Sacramento Kings defense. And you know, you noted there. Let's backtrack here. Let's lay this out from the beginning. The Kings, it was 10-0.
Mm-hmm.
And our mid-range city hashtag, that was not going to take off because they weren't making – we were at, I think, no range city.
Yeah, that's the one I sent out there. I'm like, what's going on?
That was on the verge of taking off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, okay, get a little bit going here, a little bit going here. And then I think it was the third quarter came around. And that's when they really were like, okay,
yeah,
we got a team here.
Yeah, I mean, the bench saved the day early, and that was the historical stat that played out, which I can't even believe this has kept track, but Elias Sports Bureau keeps track of everything. The Kings set NBA history by scoring the first 29 points they scored were from the bench before a starter scored 1 point. That's an NBA record. And I would think, gosh,
that is an absurd stat.
How would it ever be any point? Like, you would think a starter just has to score a point, and then when the bench comes, you know.
Who sits down and goes, you know what?
Yeah.
There's something here I really want to keep track of.
And I guess it was Milwaukee back in 2011. We got the stat handed to us that they scored 23 points from their bench before a starter scored. So they obviously had a terrible start, took the starters out. Bench scores 23. Boom, there's a starter point. It wasn't until like 4 minutes left in the half that a starter scored for the Kings.
You know, it would be a now we're talking about obscure stats. With the 10 points that the Kings had in the first quarter, I wonder what the record is for number of times with points scored like in the teens or less in a quarter. Because I feel like the Kings have done it very, very regularly this season.
Especially the first.
Yeah. Wasn't there a game where all three quarters were in the teens? And then the fourth quarter came along, and then they scored like 30. They lost, obviously. But it was like 13, you know, 17, 19, and
39.
Then it was like a 30. Yeah, yeah, it was something like that and a loss. But it was like, that's – Elias, Elias. Let's get you guys are great with obscure stats. Let's get this one because that's I feel like they do that pretty often.
I just felt like yesterday too was just important, just for anybody that's associated with the Kings, and that's fans included. That's us. That's the players, the coaches, front office. Just a win. I mean, we had said yesterday, you know, imagine if they got that game against DeMarcus and Phoenix, and you're 3-6. That's not very good, but that's probably more accurate of what I didn't feel they were 1-8, but that's what they were, and they lost 7 in a row. And now you're going to the arena.
Or Garrett shot falls.
Right. Yeah. Something's a little bit different. But now we're going, well, they probably won't beat OKC. I don't know if they'll beat Philly. Then there's all those thoughts creep into your mind.
Now all of a sudden New York is playing good.
Right. And so is Philly, who's coming in Thursday. But just by winning one, you think, well, play better. They could beat Philly. And that's what you need, and that's what the players need. And I don't know, it may go right back to a 4-game losing streak, but just to stop it here was important.
Well, you can never, ever, ever try to play with a record in the schedule. Never,
Very
ever
true.
Do that. But I can tell you, Washington stinks. And I've watched they stink. They're like Oklahoma City bad right now.
Yeah.
They lost to Dallas last night.
Badly at home, and that's Dallas' second win.
Yeah, they lost to Dallas last night. So that's Monday. Who's after that? Is it Atlanta that's after that? So, I mean, they have winnable games coming up, but I'm sure Washington's looking at it good.
Yeah, we smoked the Kings last time.
We got right with Sacramento at the Golden 1 Center. Maybe we can get right with them again. We're 1-0 not only under the mid-range city banner, we're also 1-0 since Willie Cauley-Stein has gotten a haircut.
Oh, good point.
How about that?
Add those up together.
Saw that picture with Doug and was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I did a double take on the court in pregame. Oh. Willie, when did you do that?
We all know why they won. Hashtag mid-range city overtakes. Hashtag here we stay as most franchise-altering hashtag. Couldn't agree more.
Mid-range city. I love that, by the way. But thank you to the listeners of the Lowdown because I went back during the night to look at that hashtag and went, whoa, there was a lot of activity there.
Yeah, not listeners. We're family here.
True.
Yeah, we're family. My mistake. We're 1-0 when Costa Kufis kicks a rail. Where's that? I didn't see the rail kick.
I
must have missed that. But, hey, Tex Nation, nobody is more astute to what's going on than Tex Nation. If Costa Kufis kicked a rail, we're 1-0. Costa?
Kick a rail.
You lay in on a rail coming up Thursday night against the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, I know he got a cut, and maybe that was going towards the
locker
room.
Did he headbutt a rail?
I did not see that. Didn't have to get stitches.
It'd be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Tex Nation also here, 44-11-40, or they're loving some Buddy Hield today.
Well, remember I said that the other day. You know, I said I'd still seen a couple of positives. Like what? And I said, well, moving Temple to the starting lineup, I think, has solidified that group a little bit of starters. But Buddy off the bench, he likes the role. In his last three games, he's been higher teens in scoring. Yesterday becomes the fourth King to get over 20 in a game, which is sad. That is 10 games in and only four players have done it, but he's also rebounding really well. And he got comfortable. He was the guy that brought him kind of back in the game, and he was torching Abrines, and then they moved Robertson on him and it became a little bit more difficult, but they made that adjustment because Buddy was hot.
If you join in the conversation late, Garrett Temple will be with us in 15 minutes here on the Lowdown. No Frank Mason last night, no Malachi Richardson. As we mentioned, not the 32s, 33s, 34s, 36s, 37s, but we did see some minutes scaled back again. Scal, what? Not a lot of run for Scal. At what point? I don't know how to phrase this question, but it's about Willie and his. Like, do you just ride it out with Willie there in the starting five? He's not playing well. I don't think he's playing bad, but he's not playing like a starting five, whatever that is. But I don't know that Costa Kufis is the answer to that either.
Yeah, Costa with Randolph is a slower, more plodding group. I don't know the answer either, but what Dave Yeager seemed to have done the last couple games is, like, specifically yesterday, was play Zach with four perimeter guys. Mm-hmm. So Zeebo was kind of the center with four perimeter guys. We saw that kind of as a closing lineup, and Willie was out, and it's, you know, maybe Justin Jackson, Temple, Fox, you know, Hill, that kind of mixture, some combo of that. That seems to be working maybe the best right now, but I don't know that that's your starting group, but he's going to – Coach Yeager said it in the pregame media session. He's like, yeah, this is going to be a ever-changing, ever-evolving kind of search for development and continuity of what they've got as they exist now.
You know how many free throws De'Aaron Fox took yesterday?
I don't remember one.
He took the same amount that Garrett Temple took.
Same amount as you and I?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a problem.
I do. Yes. No. 100%. But he attacked more yesterday. Now, he didn't get the whistle, but I don't remember a bad call against him.
But George Hill only got to the foul line that one time, too, where, you know, he took his two free throws.
The
Kings guards aren't getting to the foul line.
Yeah.
With everything that, you know, and again, where this didn't bite the Kings in the ass, quite frankly, is that Oklahoma City doesn't get to the foul line either.
Yeah.
These are just two teams that for whatever, if they're playing, game plays out exactly the same in terms of defensive effort from the Sacramento Kings, shot selection, all of that, except they're playing the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
They probably lose just because, again, take all things in exactly the same. Field goal percentage, three-point percentage, all that. Take it all the same. Chances of them shooting only 23 free throws is very low. They're probably closer to the high 30s, 40s range. And
yeah.
So they're losing. They're losing that game. They I don't want to say they lucked out in a sense. It was just that's you play the schedule in front of you. These two teams don't go to the foul line.
Yeah. Where they benefited in that scenario yesterday is, I want to say, Damian, it was 4 minutes into the third quarter. Maybe. I mean, it was early. Seven something left in the third quarter. And OKC was already in the penalty. Kings had five fouls, so there's OKC shooting free throws the rest of the third, and I think they only took four the rest of the way, so they didn't foul a lot more after that, which was good. And the other stat that we look at every night, because it just the Kings just get crushed on this on a nightly basis, is three-point differential.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a factor yesterday. The Thunder made one more big deal. That's 3 points that you can make up. And then the other one that, for whatever reason, the Kings have two wins. Both nights they've out-rebounded their opponents. They won the win against Dallas, and last night they out-rebounded OKC just by three. But they won that stat, and the only two times they've done that, they've won. So it's just some weird early season things for 10 games.
So here's what we've established. Hashtag mid-range city.
Mm-hmm.
Win the rebounding battle.
Yep.
Costa Kufa, kick a rail. And will he cut your hair?
So does he have to cut it? Like, so now does he have to cut it for tomorrow? Cut it a different way?
He just tighten it up. Nice little line.
Okay.
Little fade.
Because
yeah.
Maybe he should have done it like, this was a drastic cut.
Incrementally?
Yeah, because now he's to the head. It's like shaved.
I don't know that you can incrementally cut dreads, though, can you?
Half a side. I'm not saying it has to look
That's
good.
That's at Jason Ross 1140,
Sorry,
folks.
Willie.
At
hey,
Jason
if this is
Ross
about winning.
11, yeah, you know, that's
so
true. We all got to make
like part
maybe
of it
you
and
just
this
cut
part.
One dread at a time.
There you go.
Because this is about winning. Stop being so selfish, Willie.
That's right.
And, you know, Costa, just don't break your foot when you're kicking rails or headbutting rails or whatever's going on with you. But the weird start to the 2017 NBA season continues, not just for the Sacramento Kings, although I don't know that anything is weird going on with the Sacramento Kings, but when you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, you look around. Cavs did get a win last night.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into NBA news. It was a pretty fun watch. There was a huge reason it wasn't fun, and we'll explain. But if you're watching a game with Giannis Antetokounmpo in it, you're gonna enjoy yourself. But so they were able to get a win. We mentioned Washington lost to Dallas, and then obviously what's going on with Oklahoma City. It's the Knicks. The Knicks are winning.
Mm-hmm.
Porzingis, the unicorn is real. The unicorn lives. The unicorn fly. Unicorns fly, right?
Unicorns do whatever they want.
That's right, because that's why they're unicorns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a strange. You know, we're 10 games in, and you're looking back at it like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and besides having Boston and Cleveland and the stars that those teams have, a lot of them transferred from the East to the West, so it's good to have Giannis and Porzingis because those futures for the individuals look good, and certainly for the teams, because those guys are studs.
You should know, because they're coming in here tomorrow, Philly won.
Yep. Good win in Utah without Embiid.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's five in a row for them.
Yeah, yep, they're 6-4 now. The Clippers, your Clippers?
Mm.
No?
Oh, I was higher on them than most. Yeah, sure.
They've cooled off quite a bit.
Yeah.
They started out pretty hot. They're 5-5 now.
Lost at San Antonio. Rudy Gay was good. Aldridge mm-hmm. was good. Yeah.
Spurs went. That's a story we got to get to. As we mentioned, Garrett Temple's going to join us in 10 minutes, but Sam Amick's going to be with us at 2. I'm still unclear what's going on with Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, it's been a little longer.
But, he, you know, based on what Pop said yesterday, we're not going to see Kawhi anytime soon. And this is just a perplexing situation with Kawhi Leonard because, you know, the Spurs, to a certain degree, are you know, it's not like he did. It's not like there was this injury where he went down in the game. It's not like the playoff game last year, right, where he went down. It was like, oh, here's what happened. He has some sort of quadriceps injury, and it's like, okay, a lot of times quad injuries are actually, I swear to you, it sounds like I'm making this up. I'm not making this up. Quad injuries are like knee injuries in disguise.
You're making that up.
No, I'm not. Tendons run down to the knee. And for the longest time, I only know this from personal experience. Kara's last year with Sacramento, we thought something was wrong with her knee. Go back. She missed a ton of time we thought something was wrong with her quad because it kept causing, and it turned out, you follow that little, it turned out to be a knee issue. Mm-hmm. They had to figure out how to fix it. So I don't know if this is just a, okay, Kawhi, sit and do nothing, and that's how this is going to get better. But, you know, Pop is now, just coming along slowly.
Very vague.
So, like, 2 weeks slow or, like, Christmas slow or, like, All-Star break slow? Like, what are we talking about here?
Or Andrew Luck slow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, so now are we talking about it's in his head?
I don't know. Well, others are suggesting.
There's nothing wrong with Kawhi Leonard. It's actually in his head.
No.
We'll play that clip for you. If you missed that story, Tony Dungy had said something to Dan Patrick. I was actually watching this on TV. They do these, they call them looky-loos. It's like you're in a commercial break, but the camera goes hot during the commercial break, and, you know, it picks up back behind-the-scenes conversation. Right. And there's a question whether Tony Dungy knew if they were on the air or not. And he made a remark that Jim Irsay had been telling people at, like, a Colts dinner or something, I don't know, that whatever was wrong with Andrew Luck was in his head.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, we got one small thought coming up on the AFC, and here's a little tease. You got to address what's going on here with him.
Yes.
So we'll get to that at 1 o'clock, as we mentioned. Sam Amick will be with us at 2. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings, he joins us next here on The Lowdown. The NFL empire is crumbling.
What?
Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell and lawyers and lawsuits and contract extensions and suspensions and courts. Oh, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. Couldn't happen to a couple of nicer guys either. We'll explain all of that here in just a few minutes. Welcome back into The Lowdown. Happy to bring in Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. And, Garrett, congratulations on the win last night.
Appreciate it, man. We much-needed win. Much-needed win.
And how much of, you know, snapping those losing streaks is just a sense of relief for you guys?
It was a definite sense of relief. And, you know, it felt good coming against a team that, supposed to be, you know, a playoff team, three all-stars on it. So it was real good for us to get that, and a good sign for our young guys to see that we can, be down early on and then get the lead and finish the game off.
You know, Garrett, one of the things we said on our post game for the broadcast was you guys as a starting group had a tough beginning, but then when you got a second run at it in the second half, you guys played much better. What did you feel, besides shots falling down, was better in your second run through as starters?
Yeah, so the second group really came out and got us back in the game. You know, Buddy Hield did an amazing job offensively, and Justin Jackson as well made some big shots for us in the first half. And De'Aaron just finding people. And then, you know, at halftime, you know, I was like, guys, our first group, we got to come out, man. We got to come out and try to get a lead, man. Push this lead and get a lead so the burden isn't always on the second group. So that's what we're able to do. I think Zach coming out in the third quarter, you know, doing what he was able to do on the offensive end really solidified us. And then, you know, guys just continued to play for each other, and we got stops, man. Defensively was what won the game for us last night.
Now, Garrett, I can't confirm this, but I think Dave Yeager may have been listening to our conversation last week, because we had talked about the last time we were with you, you guys playing more minutes, and you and Justin Jackson both top 30 minutes, and there haven't been a lot of times. You go back and look at that box score, and you got a Sacramento King there in the 30-minute time marker. How much, if at all, did that help you guys last night?
I think it helped. I think, you know, at the end of the day, coach wants to win, and, you know, he's going to put the guys out there that he feels that night have the best chance to give the team the win. You know, like I said, they had three all-stars on the team, three 20-point scorers. So Justin was doing a great job on Melo. I was trying to slow down Paul. And then toward the end of the game, you know, I was guarding Russ a little bit. So, again, defensively, we were making some good plays. So he wanted to, you know, have guys out there that were making good defensive plays.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about what you just brought up because I was watching you last night and you – there were a lot of weird cross matches just based on who they throw out there. And you did have to guard Paul George, maybe a series or two on Carmelo, and certainly at the end on Westbrook. What do you prefer to guard, someone that is quicker or stronger? What do you feel, I don't know if it's easier, but or what gives you more challenge, a quick guy or a bigger guy?
I think the biggest challenge is a quick guy that can really shoot it, like an Isaiah Thomas. You know, if it's a guy like Paul George, you know, you know what he's going to do. It's just more of a trying to contest the shots, the jump shots, trying to not let him get in the lane. But, you know, the little small jitterbugs are the ones that are tough for guys like guys that are 6'5", 6'6", and long like me.
You mentioned guarding Paul George. You did a hell of a job last night as he was 4 of 16 shooting, and you as a team held the Thunder to just 33.7% shooting. As a viewer, as a fan, or being in the arena, we can sense it. We can feel like, all right, our team is running now. We got some things going. When you're on the floor as a player, can you feel it like, oh, we got them on the ropes? We can go for the knockout blow right here. We got them.
Yeah. You know, we understood defensively we were doing an amazing job. We needed to make some shots and continue to play the defense we were playing. You know, the threes that Melo hit, I didn't even realize he was like 4 for 16 or 4 for 17 because those threes were so big in the fourth, I think. But you know, like you said, we weren't really thinking about it in a futuristic thing. We were just thinking, try to get the next stop, try to get the next stop, try to get the next stop, and it just happened to be a few stops in a row, and we were able to get a win.
You know what's interesting, Garrett, before the game, we heard a lot about your practice the day before, and coach said it, a few players said it was one of your best practices. You've had thousands of practices, I'm sure have had a great practice, and then not a good game, or a bad practice, and then a good game. You've seen probably all the combinations, but what does a good practice, especially with what you guys are trying to do now, what does that do for you guys getting to a game like that?
Yeah, I practiced yesterday, 2 days ago, man, was one of the I think it was the best, and I was saying that before the game. I was saying that right after practice. I think it was the best we had. We did a few drills that we haven't done before, and actually they were defensive drills guarding people. And we just really competed, man. It was one of those practices that it was about two and a half hours, but it felt like it was an hour and 15 minutes, you know, because guys were just competing and having fun. And I think that's good for us. That's good for a young team. To see that we're able to do the things, do the schemes that we want to do, both offensively and defensively. And I think it really gave us some momentum going into last night. You know, like I said, as a young team, we need all the positive energy that we can get. And that practice really started us off on a good foot.
Is it the intensity of that practice that made it stand out? Is it the communication? What about that practice really made you so adamant that that was the best one that you've had?
I think it was the intensity. I think it was the amount of competition. You know, it wasn't just, you know, nobody was scoring. It was all defense. You know, it was guys were making tough shots after being defended well. You know, it was great defensive possession. Guys were talking on defense. People really knew where they were supposed to go in terms of rotation. And I think you saw that last night. You know, there weren't many just wide open shots like we have given up in the past. And I think, you know, like I said, coaches had a few drills that we hadn't done before, and guys were really receptive to them. So it was just a combination of all of that, which made it a great practice. And the energy was out the roof.
Garrett, I'm curious, at the end, when the game is over, you guys, the first, I don't know, 2, 3, 5 minutes or whatever into the locker room, no one wants to accept losing. You also don't want to make a win too big of a deal. But how did you guys kind of handle breaking that streak in the locker room?
It honestly was just like another, like a regular win. You know, guys weren't too crazy about it. Guys were just happy to finally get a win, but they weren't, you know, guys weren't jumping up and down or anything. And which was good. You know, we didn't have to temper any expectations or anything like that. Just, it was kind of just on to the next one. Glad we got the win because we knew we honestly didn't play as good as we could. We didn't shoot the ball very well. But it was just more of like a grind out win, and I think that's the way, that's the mentality we took when we went in the locker room.
So from a different, take it back to a different point in the game, Garrett, what was that first time out like? Where you find yourself, several minutes into the game, scoreless, again at home. What are you guys saying to each other before Dave Yeager comes over into the huddle?
We got to pick it up. We can't come out like this every game. We have to, not only try to make some shots, but just execute offensively. We have too many turnovers, careless turnovers. We just have to do a different type of job. We have to have some type of different warm-up or something. It got to be something that we change so those first 3-4 minutes are different. Hopefully we'll figure it out tomorrow.
Yeah, everything now it seems like is about building, growing. You guys, older guys, veterans, the young guys, collectively. So now as you prep for Philly, you might get some other tough matchups. Ben Simmons, another LSU guy. That's going to be – is that a guy you'll get some run on trying to guard and contain Ben Simmons on Thursday?
I hope so. When I was – I go home every summer. So when he was at LSU, we played pickup a few times. And, Ben's a hell of a player, man. I talked to Brett Brown, who was my former coach in San Antonio, during summer league. And he was like, I'm going to try to play him at the one. And I said, that's good. He can definitely play the one. He's a young talent, man, and we're going to try to slow him down. But, I'm looking forward to the challenge.
You're not a trash talker, are you, Garrett?
Nah, man. I talk a little bit if somebody come at me, but I'm a guy that's just going to keep it real. I'm going to let my game do the talking.
Well, you got Philadelphia tomorrow. Then you guys hit the road again off to New York. I think you got D.C. right after that. Is there a city that you like visiting when you hit the road?
I haven't been on the road to D.C., except last year. I like going to D.C. I got some family there. Obviously, I played there for a good amount of time, so I got a lot of friends. So I'm be excited to go to D.C. Obviously, everybody loves to be in New York and Atlanta. We got three great road cities coming up. And Toronto is the hidden gem of NBA basketball for those people that don't know.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that for years that Toronto is a spot.
So what's the one, Garrett, that everybody says, we're going to this place? What's the city you kind of dread?
Milwaukee.
Oh. Yeah.
Milwaukee and Cleveland. Honestly, Cleveland isn't a great city in terms of, got guys just loving to go to Cleveland. And those northern cities, it's just tough because it's so cold. You don't want to go there in January and nothing like that. So the good thing is we're getting these East Coast trips out the way pretty early on, so we don't have to be there in January, February, when it's freezing.
How was the Lecrae concert?
Amazing, man. Me and Justin and Scal had a blast. Much love to Lecrae. If y'all don't know, get his CD, man. All Things Work Together CD it's the album of the year to me.
Yeah, I'm with
genres.
You.
And he showed love, man. He really showed love to us after the concert.
That's wonderful, man. Well, congratulations on the win last night. Good luck tomorrow. We'll catch up next week when you get back from the road trip.
Appreciate y'all, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, likewise. That is Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. We'll come back, Jay Ross. You were perfect. Your top nine that you named yesterday for the college football playoff were perfect. We'll touch on that, how it really doesn't mean anything, but it sets up for a pretty exciting weekend, and how the NBA has something that absolutely needs to end. We'll explain next here on The Lowdown. I can't believe we're 45 minutes in. We had a Garrett Temple interview, and a Garrett Temple conversation. I hate interviews. We don't interview people. We talk to people. I hate that neither one of us have acknowledged that the Kings ate a W last night.
Oh. Does that ruin it? Does that ruin it for
I feel like that's how we have to refer things. I mean, we, hey.
Did you see this?
Hell, no. We ate a W during the first commercial break, too.
True.
Oh, dear goodness gracious. That is the absolute worst saying ever. We ate a W last night. You know what? No, I'll tell you what the worst thing ever is. If you're first of all, I didn't go to the game last night.
You didn't see your man crush, right?
Like it was.
It wasn't the best version of Russ.
I was fatigued. Yeah, I just didn't feel like it. So I'm like, I'm gonna watch it home. And there's a 4K, it's going to be on 4K with you and G-Man. So I was like, this is freaking great.
Wait, what?
Yeah, so every once in a while, DirecTV.
Yeah.
DirecTV.
It carries the radio.
It airs the 4K feed of a game. And for you, for the Kings, it was going to be the 4K, and it was going to be you and G-Man. I was like, this is great.
Okay.
You still get the blackout screen.
Oh.
It's like, come on, what's the point?
We were good last night.
What is the point? Like, there's DirecTV touts, oh, we've got 4K. Dude, you got one freaking 4K channel. One.
Get one job.
One channel. Yeah. Like, and you're going to black out the game instead of, like, come on, man. So
you just watched the regular.
I did. Yeah, I watched the regular. But apparently this was on DirecTV also for, not DirecTV, NBA TV.
Mm-hmm.
Their players' night is freaking awful.
Awful?
Awful.
And last night specifically, was it Webb?
I don't recall because I didn't.
Okay.
I can tell you, I was watching the Cavs because the Cavs were on
right,
early.
The first game.
I had the Cavs on the TV and I had the Wizards on the iPad. And I'm trying to keep it because I'm watching. I love Antetokounmpo. Are the mm-hmm. Cavs going to be able to get it together? What's going on here? What's the story in this game? And players just sit like on the and they're just cackling over the whole game, telling like inside. They're not actually talking about the game. Now, in Cleveland's case, that's not particularly bad because I don't care for their announce crew. I think their announce crew is awful. But everything, it's just awful. Like, they're not calling the game. It's like 1-2.5 hour inside joke that no one is in on.
Mm.
And occasionally they make a basketball reference. It's not good.
Gotcha.
Like, that's got to stop. Or there's got to be, like, some structure to it. But, man, when you're missing a play-by-play guy or an Ernie or something, man, it's you're watching that like, okay, I hear everyone laughing. I don't get the joke.
Funny?
Like, I'm not. It's like you're standing in a the room with the cool kids and you're the dork. Like, you don't get what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I felt through the entire Cavs-Bucks game that I was watching.
Because it was a good game.
It was. I mean, the Cavs won. Giannis Antetokounmpo was fantastic. Kevin Love was fantastic.
LeBron.
Let me repeat that. Kevin Love was fantastic.
Yeah. Was he 36 and 16 or 12 or something?
Yeah, he had 32. Kevin Love had 32.
Yeah.
Season high 32. We mentioned the Greek Freak. He had 40 last night and had, apparently there were hundreds of people waiting for him after the game, and he came out. Remember, this was on the road in Cleveland. He came out, and, like, they all sang to him, and he went up and signed autographs. Dude, this guy is going to be a generational superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how good he is, and that's the personality that he has. It was pretty amazing. Like, seeing that
that's
clip
exciting.
After the game was like, what is happening right here? Like, what's going on? Like, does this happen after every game? Like, are Greek people from every city buying up tickets to go to, because they were all talking to him, and he was speaking his language, and you're watching, and they're all singing to him. It's like, this is the coolest thing I've seen through 10 games of basketball. So
I guess
far.
We'll find out when he comes here.
That's right? A great point.
Yeah.
Sacramento,
we got a good population.
Out.
Yeah.
What's going on? But yeah, we mentioned the Cavs were able to get a win. Giannis Antetokounmpo, by the way, isn't 23 yet. He's not even 23.
Come on.
So we'd put that out there. He was 16 of 21 last night.
Just needs a little more help, and he's getting some, I guess, with Bledsoe and. You know,
well, so right. You mentioned Bledsoe. Brogdon was really good last
mm-hmm.
night.
Yeah, they like him. They didn't want to move him in the trade, so they kept him. They have Giannis, Bledsoe, a few other things.
I still want to see how that works out
because
mm-hmm. I know that they're both. I know that the term is combo guard.
Right.
It's like, okay, is that going to work for Brogdon? Brogdon's young.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to work for Bledsoe? Because Bledsoe is a bit needy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like he, you know,
right.
So. I'm curious. Yeah, more good news for the Greek Freak. He signed with Nike, and apparently their new tearaway jerseys. No, he re-signed with Nike. He's going to get a signature shoe.
Okay.
So the shoe wars continue within the NBA. You were perfect yesterday in your predictions for the college football playoff rankings.
Yeah,
well,
we were basically the same, right? We just had one flip between you and I, and so we were on it. We thought the top four wouldn't change. What was interesting was 5 through 9 to me, and where would Oklahoma be? Where would Miami? Where would TCU? And they kind of slid in there where roughly. I mean, we basically had the same. We just had, like I said, TCU and Miami flipped.
And again, it all. I thought they might do that just because I think they love Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And if you bump up Miami to 6 instead of 7, suddenly I don't know that 3 versus 7 sounds any different. Is it 3? Yeah, 3 versus 7 sounds any different than 3 versus 6. But either way, it gives just that little smidge bit more of impressiveness for Notre Dame, which I think they desperately want. I think the College Football Playoff Committee desperately wants Notre Dame to be in the Final Four.
I would agree with you.
Because is Notre Dame a needle mover still?
I feel like they haven't been lately, but I think if they are there at the end, they will be. Comparing them to a TCU, of course.
Yeah, TCU.
Yeah. Yeah, they would be.
And TCU has Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. So that'll sort out.
Yeah, that's a 5 versus 6. So there's a lot happening. The conversation still centers around what can Wisconsin do for those curious. Ohio State fell all the way to 13. They're behind Michigan State. They play each other this week. I think the winner of that game essentially will be in the Big Ten championship.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of that game will be the team that moves along. So
yeah, well, I thought the other part, you talked about Notre Dame at 3 and Miami now at 7. If it was a 3-6 and Miami won this week, wouldn't they have to be in the top 4? Would they leapfrog? If they were 6 and beat Notre Dame this week, you kind of feel like, all right, that's a significant win. They are still undefeated. They are in a pretty good conference. Let's put them in the 4. And I think by being at 7, they still may not, but they might if they beat them.
You're talking about Miami?
Yeah.
But you got Oklahoma and TCU also.
Mm-hmm.
So the winner of that game gets in. Because remember, Oklahoma is 5. They're not even in.
Yeah.
So I would assume that team takes precedent. If Miami beats the 3 and Oklahoma beats the 6, I just assume Oklahoma's going to go up one, and it's going to be Georgia, Bama, Clemson, and Oklahoma.
So then if you're
Miami. And then it'll be Miami after that,
Miami would still need help because, again, they're undefeated.
Well, they're going to get it, though. But not help, but I'm going to go cliche here. They control their own destiny. If they win the conference,
will it be enough, though?
But if they win the conference, does it mean that they would have had to have beaten Clemson?
I'm sorry. You're right.
So that gets them in. In fact, if this holds out, if Miami does somehow beat Notre Dame and it kind of holds out, the winner of the ACC championship is a de facto, that's a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
The winner's in. It has to be a play-in game because Miami at that point would have to be no worse than 5th.
Yeah, and to me, still one of the bigger things that's hanging out there is 1 and 2 that still on a collision course mm-hmm. to meet each other, still could be undefeated. I don't want to see the loser of the SEC championship game out.
And right now, and that's why it's so important that right now Alabama's ranked number 2.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's a blowout? What if Alabama destroys Georgia?
Then why you've put Georgia 1, because we have so far, because people have been impressed with what they've done so far, then you're saying their one loss is more egregious than any of the other teams that are going to be in there with one loss. And I don't. I would hate that it would be on timing of it compared to just the loss itself. Like, Clemson's loss to me is bad. It was a couple. It was 5 weeks ago now, 4 or 5 weeks ago. But if you lose in late November, that's I'm not keen on that.
I'm coming up with scenarios that keep them both in. TCU beats Oklahoma. That might be the scenario that keeps them in. But if Oklahoma beats TCU, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
I know Oklahoma's loss isn't good, but if TCU beats Oklahoma, the committee would look at that.
Well, the other way you do it is get Notre Dame out of there because they're not a conference winner.
Right, but
it doesn't necessarily have to be Miami beating.
Right, Notre Dame would be out, but Clemson or Miami would be in. I'm assuming Clemson or Miami would be in. So then you would go the loser of the SEC championship or TCU/Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's my question is that one loss team better than let's give it to Georgia as a loss?
I don't know if they would do it for Oklahoma, but I think they would. I think they would keep TCU out. I don't know if they would Oklahoma. But don't worry, Jason. It'll all works itself
we
out.
We shall see.
One small thought on the AFC plus this news with Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell. It is funny, and it's next.